More than a few years ago, I arrived in Medford as a young single teacher. Now I'm an older and hopefully wiser married teacher. God has blessed my wife Penny and myself with four grown children, four energetic grandchildren, and another grandson due in April. These days when my students ask me how old I am, I tell them that I started teaching last century. But then a student corrected me one day and said, "Mr. L, it wasn't last century, it was last millennium." My response was, "Okay, I guess you can't argue with that." When Pastor Brian asked me to give today's sermon, I was truly humbled by this opportunity to share my thoughts and God's word with you. Pastor Brian has shared that we at FBC always need to prioritize first the gospel, and then secondly, our unity as a church. I hope to reinforce this position through the four truths that I believe help explain who we are as a church. And if you look inside your bulletins, you'll find an insert that you may use to help follow along with today's message. First truth is that at FBC you will find people who are friendly saints. Hebrews 13, 1 through 2 tells us, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Now, I don't know if anyone at First Baptist Church has examples of entertaining angels unawares or meaning without knowing it, but the commands in these verses to show love and hospitality are ones that the people of our church have tried to practice for over the past 70 years. We also read in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, which is the key verse for today, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Notice the two commands. We are first to encourage one another. What word do we see in the word encourage? Well, we see the word courage. You may not think of yourself as heroic, but when you encourage someone, you become like a hero to them because you have the ability to help them face their fears. When we encourage, we help put courage into others, which is an awesome thought, don't you think? And then in the second verse, we are to be working to build one another up in whatever way they need it. So when we are told to love, show hospitality, encourage, and build one another up, how do we actually practice doing these things? Well, first we can do this by our words. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Do you want to encourage someone by your words? Do as the verse says, by building them up. Maybe you've heard of the Oreo cookie philosophy. It's been around for a while, but this is a simple formula of using our words to first compliment, then correct, then compliment. You could easily say that you are encouraging them, and then instructing them, and then giving encouragement again. Over the years, I've tried to use this as a teacher and coach to help encourage my students and athletes. An example would be to say to one of my art students, "I really like the way that you're staying on task with your project." Then you'd follow up with, "Did you think about maybe using darker lines to help make that shape stand out?" Then finally, you end with an encouragement, "Keep up the good efforts because I believe that you are going to have an awesome art project when you're finished." Well, an example to an athlete might sound like this: "Your shooting form is looking better. Now just remember to follow through with your wrist on your shot. I really appreciate how hard you're working to help the team." Try to apply this formula to build up and encourage people in your life. It's a simple thing to do, but it works. We also can encourage others by our deeds. We read in Galatians 6, verses 9 through 10, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." The key phrases in these verses deal with doing good which can take on the form of many positive actions towards others. An example of doing good by a friendly saint at FBC was directed my way the same year that I began teaching. Dave Schrader also arrived at this time in Medford as the head football coach. I had the honor of working with him as an assistant coach during his one and only season in Medford before he moved on to the college ranks. A former football player himself, he once had a free agent tryouts with the New York Giants. Maybe that was because Dave was about 6'3", 250 pounds. But though his presence was large, his godly character surpassed it. And we can say that about a lot of people maybe we know, but that was truly true of Dave Schrader. As much as Coach Schrader was committed to football, his spiritual priorities were revealed in the way he and his family took me in like family, having me over virtually every Sunday for dinner and to watch football. It was during those times together they would eventually talk to me about my faith and ask about the denomination that I was involved with at the time. Dave and his wife Diane were never judgmental or critical about the church I was attending, but just asked sincere questions and listened. Eventually, Coach asked me a question that cut to the heart of where I was at as it pertained to where I was going to church. That question was, "Are you being fed?" I'm eternally grateful that Coach asked me that question that led to my attending this church, because through FBC, I, like so many others over the years, have been encouraged, and I have been fed. When I see the friendly saints that represent some of the earliest beginnings of FBC, my heart is warmed with many memories of how they and their families exemplified the life of Christ in their words and deeds. Some of those members have passed on, but others are still with us and continue their friendly and faithful journey. And we are very indebted to these people for their faithfulness. We will now see that the remaining 3 points reveal how these friendly saints of FBC have been the recipients of much encouragement and help from God. The second truth is that at FBC you will find people who are forgiven sinners. When you see me preaching before you here this morning, do I kind of remind you of the Apostle Paul? Well, maybe not. But I believe that Paul and I have much in common when we read in 1 Timothy 1:15. It says, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." Now, I don't compare with Paul as a giant of the faith, but as the foremost sinner of all. For the Christian, this is really where it all begins. Some people search for the perfect church. Well, it doesn't exist. We begin the journey together at FBC realizing that we are not perfect people. In fact, the scripture tells us that it's just the opposite. Yet despite all our mess-ups and sins, myself and every other Christian at FBC will tell you the same, and we know that we fit in because we all realize this truth found in Romans 3:23. And I believe most of you have that maybe memorized. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We at First Baptist have a sincere grasp of the truth that we are all sinners, and the people past and present have expressed that in their own individual testimonies. But we are encouraged because we know and believe that the Bible tells us that our position of all being sinners doesn't stop there. This leads to the third truth. At FBC, you have people who trust in a faithful Savior. At times, any one of us may feel like the worst of all sinners, but we can be eternally grateful for what God has done for us. Romans 5:8 states, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Look at this again in Romans 5:8. "But God shows his love for us," and listen to this amazing truth, "in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Every person can walk into this building and be encouraged with this good news, which is found in Romans 5:1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Some people have called religion a crutch for weak people. You maybe have heard that over the years. from different sources. But we know that we are not just weak in our sins, but fallen, sinful creatures who were lost in our sins to an eternity of separation from our Creator. But be encouraged, for we are being held up, but it's not by a crutch, but by a cross, the cross of Jesus Christ. Every other religion throughout world history has been practiced around the beliefs that mankind is trying to work their way up to God through their good works. They believe that by their own efforts they can climb their way to heaven. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." These are the truths of Christianity. The truth is that God has come down to man to rescue him and her. You and me, and anyone who puts their faith and trust in the truth that Jesus Christ came to earth as the God-man, incarnate, God in the flesh, lived a sinless life, became the perfect sacrificial lamb. By dying on a cross for the sins of the world, he was buried, rose from the grave to life, appeared in his resurrected body for a period of 40 days to people who talked and interacted with him, some of who then witnessed his ascension into heaven. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father, sovereign and still in control of all that is happening here on earth. And that is a wonderful thought. And angels proclaimed that he will one day return at his second coming. These are the central, core, root, foundational truths that we here at First Baptist have believed and will always continue to embrace as our only hope. When we contemplate all of these truths, who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us, it brings great peace to our hearts. Think again about what was written in Romans 5:1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Considering the challenging times we live in today, and they are challenging, can you think of a more wonderful encouragement from God than to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is himself, the Bible tells us, the Prince of Peace? This brings us to the fourth truth. At FBC, you will find people who are fruitful servants. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You have seen how the people of FBC have walked in good works, but this is all just a part of our ultimate mission. And what is that ultimate mission? Well, we find an example of it in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 41 through 42. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. The ultimate mission is that we bring others to Jesus Christ. And at FBC, we have a church that has done just that, a church that has brought people to Jesus. But the people of FBC have not only been fruitful servants in bringing people to Jesus, but they have also practiced another biblical example, which we see in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. "The man from whom the demons had gone begged he," Jesus, "that he might be with him," meaning Jesus. "But Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you.' And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him." I've always loved this parable because of the simplicity of both the command from Jesus and the obedience of the man that was healed. Plainly stated, the man who was healed obeyed Jesus because he went and then he told about Jesus. The patriarchs of First Baptist Church love seeing new people coming to our church and to Christ. I can give you a number of examples over the years when I was attending here as a younger man. These saints of the church, these friendly saints, would take me aside and just in conversation mention how there were so many people that they had known maybe all their lives who had worked around them in the community, and all of a sudden they started visiting the church. And that really warmed their hearts. Over the years, these people commented to me how excited they were that so-and-so or this and that family was starting to attend our church. People have also shared their testimonies with me of how a specific person invited them to FBC. And as a result, life for them changed when they became Christians. And looking out over you good people this morning, I can vouch for that, that there's specific people here and families who can give testimony that they started coming here and have greatly contributed and become part of the fellowship. And they have their own testimonies they can share with people as well as to what the Lord's done for them. There are people sitting next to you, in front of you, and behind you who are here because of the faithful and loving people who invited them. And now they enjoy sweet fellowship and encouragement that you people of FBC have to offer. I'm so grateful for you fruitful servants of FBC who have been obedient in sharing your faith by bringing others to Jesus and for going out and sharing Jesus beyond these walls. Maybe you are asking, how do we continue to be fruitful? Be encouraged, because as Christians, we have the promise of, and you can see it in the outline from your bulletin, we have future strength. Where does this future strength come from? Well, as forgiven sinners, after we look to our faithful Savior to be forgiven and freed from our sins, we then continue to look to our God each moment of each day to be given help from the person of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. In John 15, 4 through 5, Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Does Jesus say, apart from me, we can do some things? Or a few things? He says nothing. Another way to say that is, we can do no thing apart from Jesus. Regarding the Holy Spirit, we read in John 14, 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." In 1 John 4, 4 says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." What are several practical ways we can tap into this future strength? Well, first, by scheduling regular times to be alone with God in prayer and to read and study the Bible. Also, we can do this when we come to church to fellowship and to hear solid preaching. And we tap in also by continuing to use our gifts from God to help others and to also serve them. Let me encourage you with this final thought. Just like in an athletic contest, there's always a final score or final result. I had to kind of stretch for that one a little bit. People that know me from Sunday school class and different places, I like to use acronyms. I like to use something to kind of help you remember the message a little bit. And so I had all these FSs going on here, the friendly saints, forgiven sinners, faithful servants, and I thought, okay, what can I do for the last one here? And I had to think about it a little bit, but the Lord laid upon my heart, final score, okay? So let me encourage you with this final thought. Just like in an athletic contest, there's always a final score or final result that provides a winner. We as Christians read in the Bible that there is a final score or result in life, now and for eternity, as it pertains to our obedience and faithfulness to Christ. What is that final score result? We find the answer in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This verse tells us that the final score or result is the victory that is ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we come out victorious because of our position of first being saved in Christ. And that always has to be first for the Christian. Our position in Christ, being saved by His blood. We then continue to be victorious winners because of our practice of good works through Christ. Saved first, the good works follow. We also see in 1 Corinthians 15:58 that it says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." So people of First Baptist Church, you can know and believe that your journey here in this life will be worth it all, because in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So knowing this truth, now go and continue to be victorious, fruitful servants. And let us also continue to go and know and believe and receive the truth that by the grace and power of God, we are all made victorious winners in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is encouraging, and that is from God's Word. And that is this morning's message.